You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If people are asked whether they'd prefer to see electricity generated by fossil fuels, coal or petroleum, or by windmills, I suspect that most of them would choose the windmills. But they might want to see a new documentary called Windfall, which looks at one small town's divisive experience with wind turbines and the wind farming industry. Joining me now are Laura Israel, the film's director, producer, and editor, and Linda Barry, the cartoonist and writer and founder of an anti-wind turbine development website called Better Plan Wisconsin. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, Linda, you've been on the show before to discuss your comic strip, Ernie Pook's comique, and some related matters. I never thought that we would be talking about wind turbines.
Right.
Why has that become such a concern for you to the point where you've started an anti-windmill website?
Well, and I'm working on a book about it. I'm one of those hardcore lefty green people, and I originally went to a meeting that was for a project that was two townships north of mine to support it. And right away when I was there, these little red flags started going off. So then I started doing some research and more red flags. And then I attended a hearing at the Capitol and saw people who were living with the turbines actually start breaking down, crying, asking the legislators.
Well, where were they going to put it? You're in Wisconsin?
They weren't going to put it
When did you move to Wisconsin?
I've been living there for 8 years. I live on a little farm.
You used to live on the West Coast.
I did, yeah.
But would they be putting it on farms, or would they be putting it in a special area? Outside of Palm Springs, there is this array of windmills, and it's not near anybody's home. They don't all seem to be turning, but at the same time doesn't seem to disturb anybody. It's a kind of a dramatic landmark.
Well, but at least in our state, the place where they want to put it, there are two things that determine it. One is where the wind is, which is usually the migration corridors for bats, birds, and insects. And the other is near transmission lines. And near transmission lines in a place like Wisconsin means there are a lot of homes around. So they're putting them close to homes and in migration corridors, and there are corresponding problems because of that.
How much is it, Laura, does it cost to put up one of these turbines?
$3 million approximately.
Because they're so huge? How big are they?
The ones that are going up in Linda's state are 500 feet now. That's like a 50-story tall building. The ones they wanted to put in Meredith were 400 feet. That's a 40-story building. And they wanted to put them 1,000 feet from people's houses.
That's 350 steps.
So 1,000 feet would mean that there's no way that I could avoid living under the shadow of this windmill.
Yes, there are low-frequency noise problems with the turbines, and there's also a shadow flicker when the turbine gets in between the sun and someone's house.
So it's like a strobe effect.
A strobe effect. And it drives people crazy. I mean, there are places where people can't get away from the strobing effect no matter what room they go to in their house.
Your film takes place in Meredith, New York. It looks like a beautiful place.
Yes.
Where is this? Which part of the state is it?
Well, actually, it's in the watershed area for New York City. It's up and it's in the northwestern Catskills, Delaware County. But it is where a lot of the reservoirs for New York City are.
And there's a lot of wind up there?
It's not particularly great. No, it's near transmission lines, which is why it's near a major transmission corridor. And which is one of the reasons why they wanted to put the wind turbines there. Not necessarily such a great wind place now.
So what happens is the electricity company comes to the town and says, we would like to put these windmills up. Do they go to the individual homeowners and the farmers, or do they go to the local public officials?
Well, in a lot of these small towns, the biggest farm landowners are actually the public officials quite often. And so what happens is they do it in a way that they're sometimes there for 2 years before people find out about it. They start signing people up. They decide where they want to sign people up. And then a lot of times, just, coincidentally, those people are often town officials.
When you say they sign people up, they're going to pay them.
They pay them to lease their land.
Now, how much? But they're putting up a 400-foot thing or a 500-foot thing on your land. Mm-hmm. How much you get paid for that?
Well, it varies. And one of the reasons why it's really hard to find that out is because they also make people sign confidentiality agreements when they sign up. So neighbors can't even find out what their other neighbors are, whether they're going to have wind turbines, how many wind turbines they're going to be, or how much they're getting paid, so they can all get together and try to get a good deal for themselves.
Aren't the turbine companies getting federal tax credits and state incentives to do this? Because we do want to have greener electricity, don't we?
Yes. Most of the money that they get actually comes from our tax dollars.
So it actually pays to put these things up. Otherwise, they probably would be fighting them because it's easier to use the old coal-fired and gas-fired electricity plants.
Well, they don't actually close down any coal-fired plants or nuclear plants when they put wind turbines up, or because that is baseload electricity. So, and the wind is, because the wind is intermittent, they have to keep that amount of baseload electricity on. So it's not even as if that's helping that part.
Well, Meredith doesn't have much local industry anymore. So
no.
Is this an attractive alternative?
Definitely.
A way of making some money?
Definitely. I mean, that was, I think, the town's first response to this was, oh, it's great. And the supervisor of the town, he really wanted it in order to help save the dairy farming industry up there, because they're really having trouble. The farms are having trouble up there.
Similar situation where you are in Wisconsin, Linda?
Yes, but the thing that's at first, town boards are approached by saying, you'll get this much money. And the amount of money that I've heard, because I've been following 20 families for 3 years now, about during their life in the wind projects, a farmer will get anywhere from $4,000 a year per turbine. But if he's on the town board or he's a critical farmer, it can be upwards to $18,000 a year. And if you have 100 acres and they can put 10 turbines, that's hard to turn down. But the problem is, at least in Wisconsin, which is pretty heavily populated, property values go way down. So all those things, that, you know, a town that relies on property taxes, all of a sudden all that's gone. And so far of the families I've been following, now there are six that are trying to sell their home, and no one's been able to do it.
Oh, so the turbines have already gone up, because in the film there is another town that has resisted allowing the turbines to be erected. The opponents are described as elitists.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's because they tend to be wealthier, and they just want, at least they're accused of just wanting everything to remain pretty.
I think that's a PR angle from the pro-wind stuff, because I certainly live in a rural community and I wouldn't call anybody that I know elitist at all. But what's really interesting is, for me anyway, as this big lefty, what started to happen to me when I started to question this industry, there is a huge powerhouse that'll come straight down on you. And the big PR that they try to push is people just don't like them because they're ugly. Mm-hmm. And they really try to marginalize the people who are suffering with, you know, living next to them.
Isn't that also the argument that's used against putting up wind turbines offshore?
About them not being pretty?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But
looking out from your beachfront home or from the beach that the town is trying to get people to go to, and seeing those wind turbines.
But I think that's been, in a weird way, because that's certainly not the case in Wisconsin, but that's still the pro-wind industry just says that's the reason people don't like them. I can tell you, in 3 years following these 20 families, I have never heard anyone complain about the way they look. They complain about the fact that they can't sleep at night.
Laura, in the film, people talk about other health problems, not just lack of sleep.
Well, yeah, because of the low-frequency sounds, that creates a lot of problems in people's bodies, as far as like hypertension, headaches. There's dizziness. A lot of people get very, very dizzy from the low-frequency sound, and also from from the strobe and looking at the turbine so much.
So what do supporters say to that? I'm talking about the local supporters, that those people are Just hypochondriacs?
I've heard they're NIMBYs, they're crazy, they're hypochondriacs. They just don't like them, and that's why they're making this stuff up. But, you know, there's a place in Maine, Vinyl Haven, where some of the biggest proponents of the wind project there ended up having problems themselves, and now they're the biggest people to say, hey, listen to us. We wanted this project, and now we're having problems with it.
And didn't that happen to some degree in Meredith? There was a public rebellion against their elected officials, and
yes,
they voted them out, although the turbines are still there. Now, some of these turbines, actually, they fall apart. They fall down. How dangerous are they?
Well, I think they're very dangerous when they're close to someone's house. And the other thing that I was really surprised at when I started to do research is that they don't bother to put them out when they're on fire because they're so high up, they can't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the planning board head says in the film, too. Your emergency squad just goes and stands around and hope nothing bad happens. I mean, in upstate New York, that's a real problem.
Well, in your film, this has led to wars between neighbors.
Yes.
Is that happened in Wisconsin as well?
Absolutely.
And if the people who are complaining are relative newcomers like you, Linda, then they're seen as troublemakers, outside agitators.
That's true. The county, though, that I've spent the most time in is not my county. It's a place that's about 3 hours' drive from me. And these were people I contacted when I saw them in a hearing. And they were begging the legislators to please come spend the night at their house to see what the noise was like. And so I went up to them after the hearing, and I said, I'll come spend the night at your house. And they said, good, who are you? And I was like, a cartoonist. But I always tell people it was like somebody calls for an ambulance and a clown car shows up. But they were so desperate that it was like, yeah, come on. So I've actually spent the night in three different homes, ten different nights, three different wind projects. So I have experienced firsthand. And these people are called hypochondriacs. They're called all this stuff. But when I experienced it firsthand, I really started to understand what they were going through.
Why did these turbines catch on fire so often?
The gearboxes overheat. That's one of the things that happens. One of the things that often happens is if there's, you know, one of the things people don't understand is they need electricity to run. They need a lot of it. So if there's high winds coming and the brake system fails, they go out of control. There can be a heating thing. There's a lot of oil up in there. There's all kinds of this.
They're filled with hydraulic fluid.
Yeah. So they often...
So one little spark will set it off.
Yeah, and they get hit by lightning quite often as well. People have even complained that there's more lightning in an area where there's a lot of wind turbines.
Now, Laura, no one from the wind turbine companies appears in your films. Did you try to talk to them?
No, I didn't, because I wanted to make the film all from the point of view of the people in Meredith. They didn't come to the public town meetings to answer questions, so they're not in the film. It's not as if I cut them out of the film. The supervisor of the town even says, where are the wind companies? Why aren't they here?
We have a listener who wrote in, Matt in Manhattan. I'm a biologist, and I work with wind turbines, and all the research has shown that if installed property, the amount of birds and bats are negligible, single-digit numbers per year. More birds die from hitting buildings.
Right. Listen, I'd like to direct that gentleman to the post-construction mortality studies from three projects in the state of Wisconsin, which show 41.5 dead bats per turbine per year. The state of Wisconsin has the highest turbine-related bat kill rate in North America. And he can find those studies quite easily online by going to the Public Service Commission. And it's one of these things where I thought when I found those numbers, and they really try to hide them because these are reports that are funded by the industry. But it's very clear that there is this huge problem. It's not sustainable. And the way that bats are dying is they pass behind the turbine in the wake. They have, you know, their lungs, they hit a low pressure and their lungs explode. So they're dying from basically the bends. So I really thought that once these studies came out and it was really clear that this thing that he's saying, more birds die from, you know, cats and running into buildings, I thought that people would be up in arms about this information. So far, nobody's really responded. And I find that to be incredible.
Thank you both so much for being with us. We've been talking about windfall and related issues, windfall film that actually will be shown as part of the New York City Festival, which features over 40 films and events going on now through November 9th. You can find the full schedule of the New York City Film Festival on our show page. And there's a screening of Windfall at the IFC Center tonight at 7 p.m. Then again on Monday, November 8th at 3:25. I've been talking with its director, Laura Israel, who's also produced and edited the film, and Linda Barry, the notable cartoonist responsible
the
for Ernie Proulx's
comic. Yeah. And,
but also now involved in having a new website called Better Plan Wisconsin, which people can find at betterplan.squarespace.com.
Yeah, and I'm writing a book. I'm writing a book about this, too.
Well, maybe we'll have you back.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about
okay.
it.
And that time we'll play the windmills of your mind when you come on.
The only thing I want to add is that docnyc.net is the website for DocNYC.
Well,
and Laura and I.
And I said they'll find a link to it on our show page at wnyc.org.
Oh, and Laura and I will be there tonight after the screening to answer questions.
Yes.
Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.